man, please remain standing and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. By the way, I was mentioning about Brother Sutton and Brother Goolsby and their age. The reason I mentioned that is I want to say, as my dad said to me years ago when I was a young preacher, my dad said to me, he said, "Son, you better get out and hear some of these old men that are moving off the scene." Brother Lester Roloff preached probably not 10 miles from my home, and I didn't know about it. Never got to meet him. Missed it. But my dad made that comment. It was concerning. Dr. Harold Seitler was preaching down in Yadkinville. We drove to Yadkinville to hear him. And then he preached for a couple of years after that, in that same time frame, in Claudeville, Virginia, where Dr. Melvin Aiken then was pastoring. And, of course, now he succeeded Brother Seitler there. But I got to hear him. And Brother Mays Jackson and Brother Billy Kelly and men like that that were old then, now they're gone. And I never got to hear Percy Ray. And I can think about some men like that I didn't get to hear that I wish I had. And it's not that I expect Brother Sutton or Brother Goolsby to pass off the scene quickly, but 75 years is a long time to live. And they may live a lot longer and not be able to be in the pulpit as they are right now. So while they can, I'd encourage you to go hear them. It'd be a blessing to Brother Logson as well if you could go. But I encourage you to hear men like that when you get the opportunity. Men that are still staying with the stuff. Amen. Brother Goolsby made this comment. I shared it with Brother Steve yesterday, I believe, or sometime. I guess it was this morning. Sometime. Anyway, that Brother Goolsby said that he was talking about the Greek and the Hebrew underneath the King James Bible. And he's explaining a word. And he said, "I did take Greek." He said, "I had to take Greek in college to get my degree." But here's what he said. He said, "I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now." And he said that he had known one man that he considered a Greek scholar. He said there's only two men in the history of Furman University that ever graduated Furman University with a major in Greek. And that was Dr. Harold Seitler. And I didn't know that. He said Dr. Seitler could read the Greek New Testament like we read the English New Testament. But he said Dr. Seitler made this comment. He said he heard him say it on more than one occasion. He said Dr. Seitler said, "If you have a King James Bible, you don't need the Greek. The King James got it right." Amen. I say amen right there. And I believe that's right. Amen. So, having said that, we're looking in the book of Hebrews, but it was written in Greek in the original. Amen. Book of Hebrews and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'll stop right there and say, amen, we're looking for the same city. Amen. Amen. Verse 11, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." I'll have to say amen there again. "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I'm going to stop there in verse 16. But I want to notice in verse 13, there's a phrase there towards the end, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Turn to 1 Peter, hold in your place there, if you will, in Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11. It uses this same phrase, and that's why I'm using these two texts, but I'm going to preach from both these texts. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, verse 11 said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. I want to try to preach tonight on that thought, strangers and pilgrims. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege again to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving my wife and I safety as we travel to North Carolina and back to the meeting down in Fair Dealing and back out to the funeral home last night, out to the grave today. Lord, we want to thank you for your protection and allowing us to be here today at this time among the people we love. And Lord, feeling the love and feeling the communion and the fellowship that we have one with another in the body of Christ, this church, the Island Ford Baptist Church, I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you, Lord, for showing yourself strong on behalf of the family there, the Wilson family, how that you blessed and gave them grace to make it through this day. And Lord, we'll trust you to give them grace in the days to come. I want to thank you, Lord, for showing yourself strong on behalf of Sister Jennifer and Brother Troy and giving them that new life and that hope of new life and promise of new life within her. Lord, I pray you'd bless and prepare and provide for that as well. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd move in our midst tonight. Lord, I pray you give some sinner hope. You give some sinner new life tonight by your grace and by your power. Lord, that you might do that work that only you can do. Lord, that you might strengthen the saint. Please, dear God, revive us and do a work of grace among us. We ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Strangers and pilgrims is the phrase that he used in Hebrews 11, 13. And then also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. Let me give you just a little bit by way of introduction, a little history talk, not really a lesson, but a thought about history. Back in the 1600s, the Church of England was in power in England. They were persecuting anyone who would not submit to the authority of the state church. Like the Roman Catholics, everyone was required to give complete loyalty and allegiance to the Anglican Church, which was the state church at that time. Freedom of conscience and free thinking was not tolerated. Any preaching was to be done under the authority of the Anglican Church. And only a license from the Anglican Church was allowed to be used as a preacher. Dissenters, those that disagreed, those that broke those laws, were imprisoned or worse. Now, all through the ages, God has always had a remnant of believers. Thank God. Amen. He's always had a remnant of believers who have held to the truth and remained faithful to the Word of God. Amen. And during these difficult days in England, there was a group of nonconformists who secretly worshiped God outside of and without the knowledge of that Anglican church. They were apart from that Anglican church. The way I use it and thought of it in my mind, put it in my notes, they gathered together apart from the Anglican church. In other words, men of like mind, people of like faith, gathered together to hear the Word of God rather than to hear what the the king said that they had to hear, or what the priests said that they had to hear. All right. Instead of staying in the Church of England and trying to purify that church or change that church like the Puritans did, they broke out of it. They pulled apart and separated from that and became known as separatists or pilgrims. Amen. They, as a result, were hunted, they were hated, and they were persecuted. Persecuted mercilessly by the state church. Well, in 1607, many of these pilgrims moved to Amsterdam, Holland. Then in 1609, they moved to a town called Leiden. At least, I think that's how you pronounce it. L-E-I-D-E-N. I'll pronounce it Leiden, and if that's wrong, I'm lying. All right? I'm mistaken, but I think that's how it's pronounced. But in 1609, they moved there to Leiden to escape persecution from their homeland. But because of the worldly influence in that area, by the way, they saw that influence affecting their children.
Right.
And when they saw that worldly influence on their families and on their children in the Netherlands, they decided to move to America in 1620. Amen. The first group of 102 pilgrims sailed on the Mayflower. Amen. After a rough 66-day journey, they landed in Cape Cod, off the coast of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, on November 21st, 1620. Amen. 102 pilgrims made it safely across. There's stories in that. There's a lot of history in that. That boat, by the way, was not made to carry people like that. It was not it was not intended for such a trip. Those people were not in nice cabins. They were not in fancy lodging areas. They were actually stuck down in the bottom of the ship like a load of cattle, and they were closed up with very little fresh air, very little cleanliness. It was just a dank, dark, dirty dungeon for those people as they sailed across there. And the men on the ship were wicked sailors, most of them. And matter of fact, as far as I know, all of them were wicked and hardened sailors. One man made the comment that he said that he looked forward to throwing overboard the bodies of these men because he was angered at their singing and at their Bible reading and their services that they were holding down in the belly of that ship. But one man made the comment that he looked forward to throwing their dead bodies, dead carcasses, overboard. On that trip across, only one person died and had their carcass thrown overboard. You know who it was? It was that sailor. That's who it was. That sailor that said that. Amen. Amen. Well, they landed here November 21st, 1620. But life was not easy for them, especially during that first winter. Many of them perished that first winter. Matter of fact, according to William Bradford, 50% of them, half of them died the first winter. 102 people landed. 51 lived. 51 died the first winter. But they survived that winter. God provided for them, and God sustained the pilgrims through that first winter by some friendly Indians, amen, and by the providential care and hand of God. I believe that's right. These pilgrims no longer had the creature comforts that they had enjoyed back on the land in England. They no longer had the creature comforts that they had had in their homeland. But now they were able to worship God in freedom and in liberty. And that's what their soul wished for. And that's what they longed for, that freedom and that liberty to worship God as they saw fit without the restraints of the law being placed upon them. Amen. These believers were called pilgrims because they had no hold in this world. And this world had no hold on them. Amen. They had a spirit that was alive and rejoicing in the liberty of the ability to worship God. And they didn't care about the world and the things of the world. This world was not their home. They were just passing through, so they were called pilgrims. There was another man that lived at the same time in Bedford, England. He's a Baptist preacher by the name of John Bunyan. He too was a separatist. He understood truth. Amen. He understood the truth about being a stranger and a pilgrim. Because he refused to take a license to preach, he spent 12 long years in prison. And it was during that time that he wrote the book, Pilgrim's Progress. He also wrote a song entitled, He Who Would Valiant Be. Amen. He understood something about pilgrims. I'm laying this groundwork and telling you this story about the word pilgrim. It's a biblical term that's supposed to apply to the saints of God. Amen. Another hymn writer has written, and this is a phrase. It says, as pilgrims and strangers, we journey through this life. And that is to remind us what the apostles were reminding the saints of their day. The apostle Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews. The apostle Peter, I know, wrote the book of 1 Peter. And these two men both used the phrase strangers and pilgrims. A stranger is a foreigner. Amen. You've heard the story, the statement, like trying to get a square peg in a round hole. You ever heard that? That statement? And what they're saying is that we don't fit in. And we don't. We don't fit in. We stand out, as old saying, like a sore thumb. Because this world's not our home. The Bible said, our Lord said to His disciples in the book of John, He said, if you were of the world would love you because the world loves its own. But He said, because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you, He said, the world will hate you. And they do, by the way. Amen. They do. And a stranger is a foreigner. And a pilgrim is a sojourner in a foreign land. Amen. He's headed to another place. Amen. And I'm glad that's what we are. But I want to ask you, I think this thought, or have we forgotten, are we actually strangers and pilgrims in this world? Or do we feel like this world is our home? Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, for our conversation is from heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation deals with our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And so this world is not our home. Do we really believe it when we sing the song? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. I like what Brother Hannah Miller said. My treasures are not laid up somewhere. I know where they are. Amen. My treasures are laid up over yonder beyond the blue. Amen. Amen. And the old song that children used to sing, I've got a home in glory land. That'll outshine the sun. Amen. 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 That song goes on to say, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not our home. Are we included? Can we rightly say we're just strangers and pilgrims in this world? Now, having said that, look back with me to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to give you some characteristics of biblical strangers and pilgrims. First of all, strangers and pilgrims obey God. Amen. It's right here in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. That's the key word. Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims obey God. God said to Noah, do something. And the Bible said Noah moved. Amen. God said to Abraham, do something. And Abraham moved. Abraham obeyed God. Amen. Noah and Abraham obeyed God in spite of the fact that there were many things that they did not understand. Amen. When God said it's going to rain, don't you know, Noah said, what's rain? It had never rained. God said, I want you to build an ark. And Abraham said, praise God, I'll build an ark, but what is one? I mean, just all kinds of things that you think about. I mean, Abraham didn't know, and I don't know, but I suspect that God told Abraham when he had him bring in all that food, that God told Abraham that he's going to, I mean, Noah, I have Abraham build an ark. God have Noah get those animals and bring them in. I can imagine that Noah had to scratch his head a little bit and say, who's going to go round up all those? Who's going to gather up all that stuff? Listen, Noah lived before there's such thing as cowboys. Amen. He didn't understand, but you know what he did? He obeyed. Sometimes God asks us to do things we don't understand. You know what our job as a stranger and a pilgrim to do is? Our job is to obey. Amen. Brother Bell touched on that thought Sunday night. Amen. And thinking about Rick there in the military and that instant obedience that they require. They want to teach you that instantly to obey. Amen. Amen. God said to Noah, move, and Noah moved with fear. God said to Abraham, move, and Abraham moved from Ur of the Chaldees to that land that he knew not of. Amen. Now, they did these things in spite of the fact they did not understand much. They did not understand. And despite the fact that they would have been mocked, and no doubt were mocked, for what they were doing. Amen. The world scoffed at Noah. You know they did. They mocked at Noah for building the ark. They scoffed at Abraham for moving to a country that he knew not of and obeying the voice of God. Amen. Noah moved with fear, built the large ark inland from any sea with the instructions of God. It seemed ludicrous. It seemed laughable. But God said it. Noah believed it. And Noah did what God said for him to do. Amen. Right. Abraham had no Rand McNally map. He had no MapQuest. Amen. He had no GPS to guide him. But he just went at God's command. Amen. Right. He didn't know the way he was going. He was asked to move far away from his family and his friends to an unknown place that he had never seen before. Amen. A place that they would never see him or hear from him again. And yet he obeyed. Amen. God has given us His Word. I'm talking about the King James Bible. And listen, we had Brother Walker in here talking to us and teaching us about the Bible. And I've preached on the radio a good bit about the King James Bible. A lot's been said. I know Brother Hall has taught you the King James Bible. You'd be amazed at how ignorant people are about their Bible.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Amen. People that should know the Bible, and yet they don't know it. Why? Because they've never sat down and read it. God gave you His Word to read, to know, and to obey. He didn't give you a Bible so you can say, isn't that a beautiful thing? And put it on a shelf. I told some different ones that I read something, Brother Kirkman, that'll be here in June. He wrote a book, a little bitty booklet, entitled something along these lines about how to build a Christian library and get the most out of it. And he's got several recommendations. One of his recommendations is this. He said, do not look at a book as a collector's item, but rather as a tool. He said, mark your books. He said, a book that is marked up and worn out is, and the information stored is better than a book in pristine condition that you've never cracked the cover open and you don't know what it says. I say amen right there. But especially our Bible. Amen. Our Bible was given to us to learn and to obey. Here's what David said. David said in Psalm 119, verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from thee. He said, I'm a stranger. I need your Word, God. That's what he said. We're strangers. We need the Word of God so we can obey it, because that's what strangers and pilgrims do. Psalm 119, verse 54, the psalmist David said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. So again, stranger and pilgrimage, or pilgrims and strangers and pilgrims, need the Word of God and love the Word of God and obey God from His Word. Amen. I'll ask this question. How serious are you and I about obeying God? Amen. There was a preacher, he's passed away now. He's another one of those old men I got to meet years ago. Brother Buren Hastings, you may have never heard of him. He preached in the mountains of North Carolina in a town called Valdez, North Carolina. It's where the Waldensians came to North Carolina. Valdois came to North Carolina from. And he pastored there. And God used him in a mighty way. He pastored a church named Abie's Chapel Baptist Church. And Dr. Hastings, or Brother Hastings, years ago, the time I heard him, he said, I remember he was preaching, he's a large man, not tall, but a large man. He said, I'm the preacher that when you can't see him over the pulpit, you can still see him on both sides. And I never forgot that. I remember several things, statements that he made. One statement that he made, this. He said the difference in a sinner and a saint. He said a sinner will see a mud hole and run, jump into it, dive into it, and enjoy himself in the sin. But he said a saint might not see that mud hole and fall into it, but he'll hate every moment of the filth and the grime that got on him. That is the difference in a saint and a sinner. I believe that's right. Amen. But I was saying this about Brother Hastings. Brother Hastings encouraged his church. He got on a burden for missions. And he said, I want our church to start praying that God would raise up a missionary out of our church. That's what he said. He said, I want a missionary out of our church to represent us around the world in missions. And they prayed that way for several months. One night, Brother Hastings' daughter and her husband surrendered to go to the mission field. I don't remember right off the bat if it was Haiti or Africa. It's one of those. And they said Brother Hastings fell over on his daughter, weeping. And he said this audibly. He said, Lord, I wanted one out of our church, but I didn't mean one out of my house. I asked the question, how serious are we about obeying God? Amen. We ought to obey Him. That's what strangers and pilgrims do. Amen. We have not only been given the Scriptures that help us obey God, but we've been given the Spirit of God that indwells the believer, amen, indwells the Christian, and He comes alongside to illuminate the Word of God, amen, to remind us of God's truth. Our Lord said, He'll speak of the things I've spoken of. He'll remind you of the things I've said. He will guide you into all truth, is the aspect that He's got there. The Spirit of God will enable us to keep the Word of God. Amen. He will illuminate the Word of God to us. He will remind us of the Word of God. And then He will enable us to accomplish what God has asked us to do. And He will convict us when we don't. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives in us and influences us in the right direction and then lays the whipping on us when we don't obey Him. When I ask the question, is it not true that sometimes we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit because of our disobedience? Our disobedience to God, but the fact that we don't want to be a pilgrim and a stranger. We want to have our own way. We want to have our own life. We want to be able to put our roots down. And I believe that grieves the Holy Spirit and quenches the Holy Spirit when we cease to be strangers and pilgrims as we ought to be. When we refuse to move at His Word and refuse to move at His promptings, we grieve the Spirit of God. Amen. If we're going to be one of God's faithful pilgrims and strangers, we have to do like Abraham and Noah did. We're going to have to obey the Lord. Amen. Number two, now I'll move on. I've stayed with that long enough. Strangers and pilgrims do not feel at home in this world anymore. Verses 9 through 11. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he, talking about Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange land. Now that was going to be his land. But he still sojourned in it as a strange land, as in a strange land. Dwelling in tabernacles. We would use the word tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen and amen. Well, I wasn't supposed to read verse 11. My text there, verses 9 and 10, is actually what I'm supposed to have read. Strangers and pilgrims do not feel at home in this world. The passage says that Abraham looked for a city. Amen. Brother Vance Havner said this. He said, God made the country and man made the city. And you sure can tell the difference. Yeah, I say, amen. But Brother Havner also said, God took Abraham out of the city, Ur of the Chaldees, made him a country boy. But he told him to keep looking for a city not made by man. Amen. A city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked for that city. In other words, he was awaiting a better day. Amen. Abraham recognized that this world was not his home. Although God said, where your feet hit, you're going to have that land. You see all this? He said, you're going to have this land. He said, as the stars of the sky, I'm going to multiply your seed. As the sand by the seashore, I'm going to multiply thy seed. But he said, Abraham recognized this world was not his home. He kept looking for a better place and a better country. Amen and amen. Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, but he anticipated and longed for heaven. Amen. Amen. Listen, we may live a long time down here. I don't know how long we'll live. But we may live a long life as far as we're concerned. My grandfather, my mother's dad, lived to be 93 years old. And pork finally killed him at 93. And I knew it would get him eventually. But my grandpa, Absher, lived to be 93. I remember on his 93rd birthday, it was in November. And he died, if I remember right, in December or January. I think it was December. I think that's right. But anyway, I said to my grandfather, I said, Grandpa, you've lived a long time. And of course, he was weak. And my grandmother had been passed away a number of years. And he had remained single, lived with different children from that time on, lived with us for a good while. But I said, Grandpa, you've lived a long time. He said, well, it's a long time in the eyes of man. But he said, it's a short time to prepare for eternity. Amen. Abraham lived a long time. He lived to be an old man. I think 175, if my memory recollects right. I think that's right. He lived a long time on this earth. But you know what Abraham said? Abraham said, this world's not mine. I'm looking for a better place. I'm longing for a better place. Amen. There's a song, I don't know if it's in our blue book, but in that church hymnal, there's a song that says, I've been waiting, Lord, to go. And it said it's the last words of some woman that was the oldest living woman at that time. She said, I've been waiting, Lord, to go. Amen. In Psalm number 39, in verse number 12, the psalmist David said this. He said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Amen. David said, Lord, I'm just passing through this world. I not only need to obey you, but Lord, I don't feel at home in this world. I need you by my side. I need you to strengthen me and to help me through this life, because this world is not my home. Amen. Listen, we all go through trials. We all go through challenges. We all go through difficulties. Matter of fact, Brother Goolsby made this comment Monday night. He said the devil will try to make you think that nobody has trouble like you have trouble.
Right.
That nobody has what you have. And he said, the truth is, every man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. The truth is, we all go through trouble. But the thing that will help us is remember that it came to pass. Troubles are for this life. Amen. And not for the next life for the child of God. Amen. There's coming a day we'll say goodbye to every sorrow. Goodbye to every tear. Goodbye to every pain. Goodbye to every problem. Because this world's not our home. Amen. Thank God that's right. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims don't feel at home in this world. Waiting for heaven, anticipating heaven, ought to keep us from having a love affair with this world and the things of this world. Ought to keep us from becoming entangled with the affairs of this life. Amen. My third point comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. Strangers and pilgrims, number one, obey God. Number two, don't feel at home in this world. And number three, they have eternal values. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things, after they've confessed they're pilgrims and strangers, in verse 13. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Amen. This reminds us again that Abraham desired after the next life. Abraham desired and sought for things after this life, for those things of eternity, not just those things of time. It says they could have gone back. I thought about how Sister Kristen testified there about looking at pictures and seeing how they used to be. They could go back to that. Sister Stephanie talked about remembering how she used to be. She could go back to that. But what is there to go back to? Amen. This life's so much better. It's like Peter said when the Lord went in John 6:66, when that whole crowd turned and walked away from Jesus, and Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said, "Where could we go?" Amen. I'm glad there ain't nothing to turn back to. This world's not my home, and I'm not sad that it's not my home. Amen. I'm glad that I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm glad that I belong to a better country. Amen. Amen. We've got something to look forward to. Amen. Amen. Like Abraham, seeking after God in that heavenly city, strangers and pilgrims realize that the things of this world will pass away. Amen. I'm glad Brother Josh and Sister Stephanie got him a good car. Looks like a nice car, but one of these days it'll be a rust heap. Amen. No use lusting after it and wishing you had one. You'll just have a rust heap too one of these days. Amen. Now, I don't know if the metal they make cars out of nowadays is even good enough to rust or not. Yeah, I don't know if they'll even rust or not. But plastic don't rust. Amen. But my point is all the things of this world are going to vanish away. You can build a nice home and in a matter of years it starts decaying and falling apart. You can have great things laid up and stored up, but I'm telling you, moths corrupt it and thieves break through and steal it. But I'm glad we can have a treasure laid up somewhere where the moths can't get to it and the thieves can't break through and steal. Amen. Amen. I believe that what will help us in this life to have eternal values, it'll help us not gain too much of a hold on this world, or this world get too much of a hold on you or I. Amen. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims, seek first the kingdom of God and just wait for the blessings to follow. Amen. 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 Strangers and pilgrims are not worried so much about their bank account, their savings account, their retirement fund, because we know that God will take care of us and He remains faithful to us. Amen. We remain faithful to Him. The stranger understands that only what is done for Christ will last. Amen. Number four, strangers and pilgrims live by faith. And this is verse by verse through here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. I didn't read this. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith Noah being warned of God. Verse number 8, by faith Abraham when he was called to go out. Verse number 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Over and over in this text, it says that these men and women lived by faith. Amen. This world thinks we're crazy. They say, "You've got a pie in the sky dream." Listen, I've got something better than that. I've got an eternal hope. Amen. I've got a faith in the Word of God, and that Word of God will stand when the world is passed away. Amen. Amen. Brother Kirkman was sharing with me yesterday that he was on a plane somewhere recently. And a man sat down next to him. They got to talking. The man was a businessman. He's from Maine. And I believe he said he was in the late 50s, early 60s. And they were talking about problems in the world. The man brought up about problems in the world. And Brother Kirkman got to talking more about the problems. And that man said, "What do you think will fix it? What do you think will fix the problems of our world?" And Brother Kirkman said, "It's twofold." He said, "Number one," he said, "we got to know what the Word of God says, and we got to do what the Word of God says." And said that man looked at him like a calf looking at a new gate and said, "Do you really believe that?" Brother Kirkman said it wasn't. The man was not saying that in anger. The man was not saying, he was just amazed that somebody his age, somebody with, you know, he carries himself as a distinguished person, that somebody of that character would actually honestly believe that the Bible has the answers to all our problems. Those are the people that believed Obama had the answer to all our problems. Yeah. That didn't work out too good. Amen. I believe the Word of God has the answer to all our problems. Amen. Amen. All these Old Testament characters had one thing in common, and that was that they lived by faith. Amen. Salvation has always been by faith. The just have always lived by faith. Amen. Living by faith is one of our present problems. People are not living by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Look at it with me, if you will, a moment. The first verse says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." You won't get a good report. You won't make an A on your report card with God unless you have faith. That's what he's saying. You won't get a good report without faith. But the first two words, "now faith." I heard Brother Travis Clayton say this. He said a lot of people's got old time faith. They talk about faith in the past. He said what we need is now faith. That is right. We need now faith. Living by faith is looking past our present problems. Amen. And seeing God still seated on His throne. Seeing God being able to keep every promise that He's made. Amen. It's been able to look through our troubles like Stephen when he was being stoned. He looked up to heaven. Amen. He looked past his persecutors and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Thank God that's living by faith. Amen. Amen. Here's what the Bible said. "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." 1 Peter 1:8 said that. Amen. Living by faith is looking past your problems and seeing God on the throne. Living by faith is grasping God's promises by faith and finding the daily strength we need to make it another day. Amen. Living by faith is looking afar off beyond this present life to the ultimate fulfillment of the promises of God. Amen. Amen. These men and women that lived by faith saw great things, but they saw it out in front of them. And he says in verse number 13 of Hebrews 11 again, "These all died in faith, having or not having received the promises." They hoped for it. They believed in it. They died without ever seeing it in this life. And yet, they got the promise. Amen? They got the promise. And I believe that's what we're to do. We're to live by faith and we're to die in faith. Amen. Now, 1 Peter. Now hold your place in Hebrews because I'm coming back to verse 11. I mean chapter 11. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, this text I read, I've got three more points and I'll be done. I don't have a long message tonight. I'm just making it long. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So strangers and pilgrims flee from fleshly lusts. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims want to avoid the sins that this world tries to tack on to us. We try to avoid the filth. We try to avoid the dirt. We try to avoid the refuse that this world wants to cast on us and leave on us, because we realize that the fleshly life, that the fleshly sins will war against our soul. They will hinder our fellowship with our God. They'll grieve the Spirit of God that lives within us. They'll stop us from obeying the Word of God. It'll stop us from living like a stranger and a pilgrim ought to live. So we flee from, we avoid, we abstain from fleshly lusts. Amen. Sin needs to be treated very seriously like it is. It's not something to play with. It's not something to, what's the word I'm looking for? See if I put it in my notes. No, but sin's not something to be toyed with, something to be investigated. Amen. You don't need to understand it more. It's not something to be excused. It's not something to be ignored. It is something that needs to be dealt with. Amen. We need to keep a short account with God. In other words, we ought not allow sins to pile up. We ought to ask God to forgive us. We ought to daily ask God to cleanse us and keep us from temptation. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil ought to be our daily prayer. Amen. And we ought to keep a short account with others. Sometimes doing our best. We'll grate on each other. That's true, isn't it?
Amen.
I hope you're not so much more spiritual than I do. Do people ever get on your nerves? If they don't, you need to come to work for WSOL.
Amen.
I'm kidding. But seriously, people get on our nerves. We do things that hurt others accidentally or on purpose. And they do things that hurt us either accidentally or on purpose. And what we all do as strangers and pilgrims realize that we're going to face God and it could be in the next few moments. And we don't need things tacked on us. We don't need things hindering us and holding us back. We need to keep a short list and keep those things clear between us and God and between us and others. I believe that's right. Luke chapter number 21, verse 34, our Lord said this, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." In other words, we ought to keep our eyes open that the trumpet could sound at any moment. The truth that Jesus could come at any time. Paul or Peter told the disciples, "Strangers and pilgrims," he said, "flee. Flee these lusts." Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. Let me read these verses to you and give you something about strangers and pilgrims. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." So Peter's talking about being a stranger and being a pilgrim. He said, while you're sojourning through this life, pass it in fear. In other words, be afraid that you're going to face God unprepared. Be afraid that you're going to face God empty-handed, or you're going to face God dirty-handed. Amen. He said you ought to live a life that you want to face God with clean hands and a clean heart and a clean life. Pass your sojourning with fear. It's not talking about being fearful of the unknown. Rather, it's talking about a reverential fear of God. I believe that. A holy fear of God and of standing before Him someday. Amen. Knowing that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And that'll change the way we live. Amen. Amen. Knowing that we're going to give an account for every idle word before the Lord will change the things we say, how we speak. Knowing that all our works will be tested by fire at the judgment seat will change our motivation and our priorities.
Amen.
Knowing that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ will affect our sojourn and our pilgrimage on this earth. It ought to cause us to walk circumspectly, to walk a holy walk before God. Amen. And a holy walk before men, that we might make each day count for eternity. Amen. Knowing that this life we're living now, we're going to give an account of it, but it is going to total up rewards, or we're going to lose rewards on the day of judgment because the way we lived today and the way we live tomorrow. Amen. Last thing, back in Hebrews 11. This is a 7-point message. It's almost a perfect message. Brother Don Green said the perfect message has 7 points with 7 sub-points under each point. That's what he said. If you've ever heard him, he can do it.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, here's what I'm reading into this verse. These men and women obeyed God. They left, for example, Abraham and Sarah left Ur of the Chaldees, walking through a strange land, looking for a city. I want to ask the question, did he ever find that city? Sure he did. He died in faith, that's what the Bible said. Amen. When Lazarus died, Lazarus went to paradise. Paradise was a beautiful place. Perhaps you might say a beautiful city. Who was there when Lazarus got there? Abraham was there. Abraham was there. I'm simply saying that the Bible says they were strangers and pilgrims, but strangers and pilgrims finally reach home. Amen. Those strangers that I talked about, those pilgrims in England and in Europe that went from England to Holland and there in the Netherlands, they didn't like it, so they moved to America. They finally found a home on the shores of America, and by the good grace of God, they were able to establish a home here. But I'm telling you, our home is not this country. Our home is not this world. Our home is in heaven. Amen. Our citizenship is in heaven. In glory with the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Before the coroner can pronounce me gone, I'll be home. Amen. That's right. Before they get a chance to embalm my body, before they get a chance to figure out why I died, when it comes my time to die, I'll already be in glory. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I say that is motivation to keep putting one foot in front of the other in this world, because one day we'll reach the goal. One day we'll reach heaven's shore. Whether it's 10 years or 100 years, one day this pilgrimage will end. Amen. We got to keep on going. Amen. This life is short in light of an endless eternity. After all the trials, after all the tests of life, the pilgrim one day will rest secure in heaven's shore. Amen. The old ship of Zion will reach the shore one day. Amen. By the grace of God. Like pilgrims, those of us that are saved have come to a new world. Amen. Amen. We've come to a new world. Like Abraham, who left home and his family and sojourned in a strange land, we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. As strangers and pilgrims, our sojourning ought to be characterized by these things: obedience to God, not feeling at home in this world, having eternal values, living by faith, fleeing from sin and fleshly lust, and number 6, a reverential fear of God. And before you know it, our pilgrimage will end. Amen. You remember when those disciples were on board that ship, our Lord told them, get on the ship and go to the other side. You remember that? They got out there and a storm appeared. The Lord's up in the mountain praying. And they're out there in the ship and the storms appeared and they're afraid they ain't going to make it. By the way, he said, get to the other side. Yeah, that boat did. And one of the texts said that boat got full of water. And yet it kept floating. Because when the Lord says go to the other side, you'll go to the other side. But they got fearful if they was going to make it. They should have just believed God. Matter of fact, that's why I believe our Lord rebuked them and said, oh, ye of little faith, where's your faith? But he walked out on that water, and you know the story. Peter walked to him, and then the Lord picked Peter up when he started slipping and going under. The Lord brought Peter and put him back in the boat, and the Lord stepped into the boat. You remember what the Bible said? And immediately they were on the other side. Now, when our Lord saw them and walked to them, the Bible said they were in the middle of the ocean. They'd done rowed and toiled and done their best to get to the other side. But when the Lord showed up, immediately they were on the other side. I'm telling you, this life might seem like a long time of rowing and toiling and trials and troubles. But I'm telling you, one of these days a trumpet will sound. And immediately we'll be on the other side. Strangers and pilgrims, we got a better place to go. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come with a song, we have a time of invitation. I wonder this evening, If the Lord might have touched you, you need to come pray. Maybe you need to ask God to give you a little bit more faith. Maybe you need to ask God to give you a little bit more grace to make it. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. You might need to ask God to help you abstain from fleshly lust at war against the soul. I don't know what God might have dealt with you about, but if He's dealt with you, would you come and obey the Lord? Heavenly Father, I pray You'd take the Word of God, and as I've tried to preach it and tried to encourage the saints, that we are pilgrims and strangers, and we need to act like pilgrims and strangers. And one of these days, Lord, we're going to reach that heavenly home. And I'm grateful for that. Lord, help us to spend our sojourning with fear. Help us, Lord, to walk as a Christian ought to walk, to talk as a Christian ought to talk, to live as Christians ought to live, that we can face God and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Lord, I pray You'd bless now this invitation time according to Thy will. Do Thy work. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. While we sing, would You come?